It's not as convenient in other countries as it is here in America to have a Bible, hear the Word of God. And that website, a young man come to me, pastor of a church up in Columbia. He come to me, he said, "Brother Eddie, would you have any problem me starting a website? Now, I don't know much about computers at all. I'm 62 years old. And they didn't even have calculators when I was in school. We had these little wooden beads on this metal rod, and that was our calculator. But I said, whatever that is, by all means, yeah, do it." And he started at that website up, and it's got a lot of sermons on there. I put as many as I can on there. A lot of fruits come from that website. Probably the most phenomenal thing was I preached an old rough message. I'm just a messenger boy. I just deliver whatever God tells me to deliver. You better, if you're a preacher, God told Jonah, he said, "You go to the Nineveh and you preach the preaching I bid you to preach." You'd be a whole lot better just to mind that right there. But God had laid on my heart to preach out of Luke chapter number 16 on the torments of hell. And that is probably the most visited message on that entire website. It's visited somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,600 to 2,000 times a month. But this young 19-year-old boy had done an internet search on hell, and it had brought this message up. And he called me. Our phone number's on that website. He called me, and he said, "Brother Eddie," he said, "I heard your message on the torments of hell." And he said, "I don't want to go there." And I said, "That's good." I said, "Just tell Jesus what you just told me. He can help you with that." And he said, "Brother Eddie," he said, "I'm dying." He said, "I've got I forgot what he said, some kind of foreign thing in his body. It was killing him. It was eating away at his brain. I don't remember exactly what he called it. Some kind of like a worm or something. But it was eating away at him, his young boy. He said, "I don't have long to live." He said, "I can't even keep clear thought." He said, "Don't hold it against me. You know, I try to talk," and he said, "it don't always come out as I try to speak." But I counseled that boy, prayed with him. I tried to tell him how simple it was to be saved, and I really cared for him, tried. I'd done everything. I even had my pastor call him and talk to him. And as far as I know, the young man has done graduated this life. But that website, you know, that's kind of an opportunity to get the Word of God out a little further. Jesus said in John 15, He's the vine and we're the branches. And we're just trying to lengthen our tent stakes a little bit and get the Word out a little bit. But I thank God for that website. And a lot of people have visited from China, Russia, I can't think of all the names of them. Some of the communist places visit that website like you wouldn't believe. And they're hungry for the Word of God. But we'll be preaching tonight out of St. John chapter number 8. We'll read these first 11 verses here. St. John chapter number 8. The Bible said Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they had continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And we'll stop our reading right there. I want to preach tonight, God be my helper, on hope for the harlot. And pray with me tonight. Father, we thank you for the engrafted, Lord, inspired word of God. Lord, you said we ought to give the most earnest heed to it, lest at any time we should let it slip. And Lord, I do believe that we're guilty of not doing that. I pray, dear Father God, tonight, for your word, Lord, have preeminence upon our hearts tonight. I pray, Lord, it would find good ground. I pray, Lord, we'd be challenged by the word of God tonight. May it be a mirror tonight. That God, we can see ourselves as you see us. Lord, whatever needs to be done here tonight, may the Holy Ghost be, I pray. Lord, the one, Lord, that would be the one to do it, would he be the one to usher, Lord, the things that need to be done? Lord, we'll try our best to stay out of the way. We'll give you all the praise, all the glory. Ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to preach tonight, like I said, on hope for the harlot. I heard a story one time. Bob McCurry was the one that told it. I know Brother Melvin knows Brother Bob McCurry. But he told about this evangelist getting ready to hold this big meeting in this big city. And a lot of people was coming. A huge auditorium, a lot of room for a lot of people. And the young girl showed up that night, and her life, just her attire could tell that her life was in disarray. And she showed up that night, and she said, Preacher, she said, I need to know something before I go in there. And he said, Sure, honey, what you need to know? She said, Is there any hope for me? He said, Sure, honey, come on in. She said, No, you don't understand. I need to know, is there any hope for me? He said, Sure, honey. She said, Well, let me explain myself. She said, I was raised in church. And she said, I got up age, teenage age. She said, I rebelled on my family and on God. She said, I left the church, went out in the world, started living ungodly. I got mixed up in drugs, ended up prostituting my body just to supply my drug habit. She said, Preacher, I've got AIDS. I'm dying. I need to know, is there any hope for me? He said, Sure, honey. Come on in. She said, Wait a minute. She said, Before I go in, she said, I had a little boy, and he died because of this dreaded disease. She said, Is there any hope for me? He said, Sure, honey, go on in. She come in and sit amongst those in that auditorium. He got up there that night, read his text, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. God said, Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. For the invitation was ever given. She run to that altar, broken like we ought to be. And I mean, boy, poured her heart out to God. Got up and said, There's a fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, there's hope in Him. Amen. Matter of fact, there's a hope in Him for all. It's a blessed hope. It's a hope that maketh not ashamed. It's a hope that's an anchor to our soul, both sure and steadfast. I'm telling you, if you can just get to Jesus, amen, there's hope. But did you notice they brought this woman to Jesus and throw her down at His feet there? What would happen to her if they brought her to Isis? You tell me. Yeah. I'm just glad they brought her to Jesus. Amen. I mean, buddy, they brought her to the right one. That's why there's hope. Amen. Now listen, I don't need to know what you've done. You don't need to know what I've done. But God knows what all of us has done. And He's still got His hand stretched out saying, Let me help you. Let me heal you. I love you. I'm telling you, there's hope in Him. Amen. Praise God. The world, they don't have nothing to do with Him. They hate Him, but it's without a cause. He loves them with an unconditional love. I'd give anything to be able to love like God loves. Man, I'm telling you what, He loves those that hate Him. We love those that love us, Brother Tyler. And you know, those that don't love us, we ain't got much time for them. But He does. He said, Call upon me in a day of trouble. And I'll show you great mighty things, you know not. Boy, you read verses like Psalms 30, 34 verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, oh man, oh man. I got me a taste 28 years ago. And I'll just tell you right now, I got in the buffet line. I didn't want just a sample. I've been supping with Jesus ever since, amen. But this woman here, her predicament was, the only difference really between her and you and me, she got caught. You know, and I know the Bible said all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. My boast's not in any way. My boast's in Jesus Christ. He's going to somehow, Brother Melvin, present me without spot, without blemish in His presence with exceeding joy. That's going to be His doing. I'm just going to say, Lord, thank You for mercy. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercies. He multiplied on me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hope for the harlot. Man, our day and time, I tell you what, we have got kind of lenient on, any consequences to doing anything. It just seems like nothing's wrong anymore. They've just about legalized everything. You know, you read verses like Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I believe it's Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 11, I think it is. It says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the Son of Man is fully set in him to do evil. I mean, when someone's caught, and you know they've killed someone, there needs to be something done for it. I mean, but there needs to be an example set. There needs to be some kind of discipline ministered there. But now you get a good enough lawyer, you can get out of anything, amen. Well, I just got news for you. I got the best lawyer ever. He's a Jewish lawyer. He ain't never lost a case. And that old accuser that accused us before God night and day, now he's going to go up and say that anyway. He's done this, done that, and I'm just going to plead guilty. And he's going to say, I forgive him. I died for him. And Father, I love him. I want You to forgive him for my sake. You know, on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. If you want to know what that really meant, look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32. It says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. It wasn't that Eddie Wade deserved it. It was that Jesus Christ desired it. And no drunk named Eddie Wade found mercy April 27, 1988. No better than this harlot.
Amen.
And I know it was embarrassing. And I know that my boy, they sure did want to make a scene here. I can see her. She's put to public shame. I can see the spectacle, you know, the people looking down their noses. And, you know, she ought to know better. What was she thinking and all that right there? And here Jesus is, an act of love. He just stooped down. Now, what he wrote on the ground, nobody knows. I've heard a lot of big-name preachers said, well, he probably wrote about both of them being stoned. I don't know. Maybe he wrote, you know, something altogether different. I don't know. I just know one thing. Whatever he wrote on that ground, did you notice those men? The Bible said being convicted by their own conscience.
Yeah.
Now God's greater than our heart, and He knows all things. Now they didn't get convicted on their own. I'm going to tell you right now the reason they got convicted of their own conscience. He brought some things to their mind that, you know how we do, we forget about all the wrong we done. But all we can do is see the wrong that others do. He brought some things to their mind that they hadn't really thought about a lot, and they realized they wasn't no better than her. Amen. I don't know what it is about it, but we can see other people's faults, but we can't see ours. Amen. I mean, we strain at an ant, swallow a camel when it comes to stuff like that right there. I'll tell this real quick tonight and get back on my subject tonight. I went down to Bowling Green a long time ago, have an MRI done. and it's kind of funny, really, in a way, but I went down there, I'd hurt my back at work, and this girl, she come out there and she got me all ready to get this MRI done. And she said, Mr. Wade, she said, would you like to listen to some radio while you're in there? And I said, no, ma'am. I said, you wouldn't have anything I'd be interested in. She said, well, what would you be interested in? I said, I don't listen to anything except Christian songs. I said, you wouldn't have anything I'd be interested in. She said, I can fix you right up. And I said, well, now, if you can get some Christian songs, I'd be interested in listening to that. So she did, sure enough. And I'm sitting there with them headphones on and I'm listening to Christian song, and I thought, this is great. Here I am having an MRI done, and I'm listening to gospel singing. Me and Brother David sitting there talking about spiritual songs right before the service tonight. And I'm in there in this tomb-like thing, you know, and, And this MRI, the way it works, it goes so far it stops, and it takes like a screen. And where it takes a screen, it kind of warms you up a little bit. And it's about right here. And I'm in there, and I have to admit there wasn't enough room to cuss a cat. It could have made things a little bigger. But anyway, that thing got about right here. And when it got about right here, now she's monitoring my vitals out there. And evidently she detected something. I kind of noticed something too. I was having trouble getting my breath. And she interrupted there. I was singing there on the radio. She said, "Mr. Wade, you all right?" And I said, "Well, you know, I don't know. I'm having a little trouble getting my breath here." She said, "Well," she said, "do you think you might ought to come out just a little bit?" And I said, "Yeah, it might ought to." So she slid me out of that thing there. And I'm laying there. And she said, "Are you by yourself?" I said, "No, I got my wife with me." She said, "Well, you think maybe I ought to go get her?" I said, "Yeah, you probably might ought to go get her. I guess I'm about 36 years old, something like that." Anyway, she went and got my wife. My wife come there and looked at me. She said, "He ain't doing no good." She said, "Well, you think I ought to go get a doctor?" And my wife, she said, "Yeah, you might ought to." So they went and got a doctor, and the doctor come there and looked at me. Now, we're talking a doctor now. He looked at me, he said, "He ain't doing no good. Call 911. So much for that doctor, amen. So they called 911. And the paramedic showed up, and the first thing they said, "He ain't doing no good." And they flew in on me. And I'm having trouble getting my breath. I got real short of breath. I just really struggling for every breath. I think my heart may have got in some kind of distress. I don't know. But it became apparent to me that even though I didn't go up there to die, that I wasn't going to make it. I was soon to die because I couldn't go much longer like this. And I done something I never done before. I started thinking positively about dying. And I thought, well, I ain't going to have to work no more. I ain't going to have to worry no more. I'm going to get to see Jesus soon. I'm going to get to see my family soon. And I don't know if you ever thought about thinking positively about death, but I was doing that. And you know this little old nurse, she's there by my bedside, and she was pretty fearful. And I told her, I said, "Have you ever seen a Christian die?" She couldn't even answer me. She's shaking like a leaf. I said, "Don't leave my bedside." I said, "I want to show you what a difference Jesus makes." And I wasn't fearful. As a matter of fact, I was just getting ready to make my, what I was talking about, like Enoch this morning, I was getting ready to be translated, amen. And I want to leave behind my testimony. I please God. So I'm sitting there, you know, and they're flying in on me. And I mean, they're doing all kind of stuff to me, these two paramedics are. And I realized, buddy, I was about out of here. So I started quoting Psalms 23.
Yeah.
Man, I'm down there late. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I mean, I'm right there. I felt like 1 foot on the other side of Jordan. And, you know, here I am getting ready. And it felt kind of like I was coming out of my face. I don't know. Kind of like pulling your foot out of your shoe. I don't know, but felt like I was coming out of my face like this right here. And my wife jumped up and come over there and got in my face. And she said, "You got a granddaughter having a birthday this Saturday. You need to be there." And when she said that, whatever it was had a hold of me, let go. And I took that oxygen mask off. And them paramedics, they said, "You can't do that." And I said, "Well, I just did." They said, "Well, you'll have to sign a waiver." I said, "Where do I sign?" Anyway, I went home with my wife that day. And, you know, it may be with you. I'm glad, praise God. Thanks to Jesus, there's hope, amen, beyond this life. If we have hope in this life, Paul said we'd be of all men most miserable. I'm glad that there's hope beyond this life. I don't know how many days old 80 Wade's going to live, but I have hope, amen. And when that day comes, there's going to be a heavenly escort going to come down and say, "Brother Eddie, it's time to go home." And I say, "Hallelujah, amen." Man, that's the kind of hope. I'll tell you what, buddy, make you sleep better at night. But this woman here, she's in terrible trouble. But they brought her to Jesus. Now, he's our advocate. And praise God, we don't need the Pope. We don't need no mediator between us and God except him, amen. Amen. He's our potentate. He's our, whatever you call it, our Pope, I guess you could say. I mean, praise God, he's all we need. And she's got all she needs because they brought her to him. And all of them leave, and all she's got left is her and him. And he says these words right here: "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." You know, the Bible said that Jesus didn't come in this world to condemn. He said that in John chapter number 3. He said, this is the condemnation, that light has come in the world. In the middle of darkness, red and light, cause the deeds are evil, neither come they to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. He come in this world, buddy, so you could be bailed out of that condemnation. He come in this world so you could have that hope that this woman here had. She got to be forgiven. She got to be able to get her life back. She got to get to go back to her family. Just because of that hope, amen. I mentioned this morning about harlot. Rahab the harlot, she had hope in that little what color was it? That a scarlet thread. Thank you. And you can tell I'm 62 years old. She had hope in that scarlet thread. She hung that thing up there in that window up there. And I tell you what, that's all she needed. It got her through what was coming. Them walls fell. They come in, got that woman out, got her family out. Just like this woman right here. Hope.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're hoping in. Maybe you're hoping in your money. Maybe you're hoping in your good works. I'll tell you about your good works. If your good works are good enough that you can stand right alongside Jesus and be just as good as Him, don't worry about a thing. But I promise you this, you ain't got nothing to compare with the work that He done. He finished His work, graduated this life, went home to be with His Father, and He sat down waiting for His enemy to be made His footstool. Whatever you're hoping in, throw it away for Him. If you got Him, I'll tell you what, buddy, you got all the hope you need. Amen. This woman here in this terrible dilemma, man, her advocate there, not only did he win her case, but he put her accusers to shame. I don't know how tightly they had those rocks, but I know one thing, they dropped them. Because they wouldn't fit to throw one, amen? I got a lot of people, got a lot of accusations against me, and you probably got them against you. But praise God, we got Him. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Now we got an adversary down here, and he's like a roaring lion walking about singing, we may devour. But we got advantage over our adversary, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. I'll tell you right now, you can take Jesus to the bank, and I'll tell you right now, praise God, the check won't bounce. Amen. I'm telling you, glory to God, owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. Praise God, there's hope for the harlot. Man, that girl that night cried a river of tears. They said makeup melted all over the place, streaks down her cheeks, jumped up and said, there's a fountain drawing my Emmanuel's veins, and that don't do nothing for you. But in her condition, she's dying. Her condition, her life, her face shipwrecked. Her condition, she only had one hope, and that hope was that He'd still forgive her and still love her, and He did. Man, I'm telling you what, we're more than conquerors through Him. In Him, amen, we got victory. Without Him, buddy, you ain't got victory, amen. That's why the Bible said, he that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God has not life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. But you hear some people tell you, well, I'm as good as so-and-so, and I ain't going to argue with that. Maybe you are. Well, are you as good as Jesus? That's where the line stops at right there. You see, God's going to make a demand one day. You're going to stand before God one day. Now, old Brother Eddie, I don't know about you, but I ain't going to stand alone. I'm going to stand before God, guilty as charged. An old man's going to make a difference. Jesus is going to come out there. He's going to say, Father, I died for Eddie. I love Eddie. And I put my blood upon his sins. I want Eddie to be accepted. I want Eddie to be forgiven. And praise God, I'm going to get there in the joys of the Lord. Now, anybody stands any way other than that right there is going to have a sad disappointment. Because I'll tell you right now, you ain't just going to jump right into heaven. You're going to stand right there, buddy. And He's what's going to make a difference. He's going to give you that hope to be able to make it into the joys of the Lord. Amen. I wish the world could see Him as He really is. Somebody wrote a song, if they could only see what I saw. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I saw in Him all the hope I needed. Amen. This woman here, man, it's worst case scenario. Like I said, the only difference between her and you and me is she got caught in the very act. They drug her in there, made a spectacle of her, throwed her down, throwed the law at her. And all they did is that they might be able to somehow put Him in trouble. You know, I like this about John chapter number 8. Look over at verse number 42. Jesus said, if God was your Father, He said, you'd love me. Mm. Oh, ain't that something? They don't want that name Jesus mentioned. Anything but that name Jesus. He said, if God was your Father, you'd love me. Ain't that something? God put a verse like that in there. Look at verse 44. Man, I tell you what, He wasn't too gentle with them. He said, you're of your father, the devil, and his works you do. The lust of your father you'll do. He said he was a murderer from the beginning, bold not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. I'm telling you, buddy, he wasn't always gentle. Jesus wasn't. But he was gentle toward this woman here. He never done nothing, boy, but give her mercy, give her love and forgiveness. And praise God. I'll tell you what, if we can just get our loved ones to Jesus, one of the sisters here tonight tell me about her grandson had a terrible mishap and suffering because of it. But there's hope. There's hope in him. Amen. No matter how bad it is. Woman went to a doctor one time and doctor called her in his office. He said, ma'am, he said, we've exhausted all the means known to man in medicine. And he said, I only know one thing left to do. And she said, what's that? He said, well, we just need to pray. He said, oh my God, has it come to that? Man, I'm telling you what, thanks to him, there's hope. I come home from work one time. I hope your husband's out a little bit tonight. First not good mentioned in the Bible. God looked down at man that he'd made in his image. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. He said, I'll go down and I'll make a help met for him. Done the first anesthesiology, first surgery, a success. Made woman. Presented her to the man. Done the very first marriage ceremony. Adam seen Eve. Said, I do, I do, I do. And the Lord said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. But listen. I come home from work one time. I've worked hard all day long. For some reason, I thought I would have fried chicken, fried potatoes, pinto beans, cornbread, you know. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I thought I'd worked all day long. I'd somehow earned that. I got home, my loving wife, and I said, what's for supper? She said, potato soup. And I wasn't real spiritual. I said, potato soup. I said, I worked all day long, and all you got fixed is potato soup. She went to the bedroom crying. And I starving to death, so I went into the kitchen. I'd never eat any potato soup. I'd never eat any before in my life. And I fixed me a bowl of that, and I have to admit, I'd rather have potato soup than have fried chicken, fried potatoes, pinto beans. I'd just never eaten them before, and I thought I was insulted. Potato soup. Worked all day long, you got potato soup fixed. And she went to the bed crying. And I went in and I ate that, and I have to admit, I should have went there and said, honey, I'm sorry, that was wonderful. I hope you forgive me, but no, no. We're so full of pride. I don't know if you know this or not. Pride is your enemy.
Right.
It really is. Most of us are full of pride. We won't admit it. Most of us don't even realize how much of pride we're full of. But I've got my arms. I'm not going to move. And she didn't have to move. She hadn't done nothing wrong. But anyway, this just kept hanging over us. You know, it went on and on and on. And then it went on for about a week. It shouldn't have went that far. And it's because of me it was still going on. I wasn't about to say I'm sorry. Full of myself. I was out there at work in the cafeteria. I read a verse there. I think it's in the book of Proverbs. It's been a while since I've read this verse. But it said, better is a den of herbs fixed and love therewith than a stalled ox and hatred therewith.
Yes.
I read that verse. You know that word of God, it's like a hammer for those stony hearts, you know, and it broke my heart. They gave me their whole cafeteria. Everybody got up and left. I mean, here's old brother Ed, I'm over there crying, bawling like a baby. And I left work that day, and I stopped there at the church on the way home, and I went there like a whipped pup, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I said, I know you already know all about this, but I still need to say I'm sorry. I said, Lord, I want to thank you for my wife, my good wife, and Lord, I said, I made such a mess. I said, is there any way that you could get us where we could get back to loving each other like we used to love each other? I mean, I done had it up to here, you know. And I drive home, I'm about 15 minutes from my house from where I'm at. And I pull in the driveway and walk in the house. My wife, she's crying her eyes out. And I open the door, and here she is bawling like a baby. And she said, sit down right now, I need to talk to you. And I thought, oh God, who's died? And I sat down there, Brother David, she said, the Lord just spoke to me just now. And he said, we need to forgive one another and get back to loving each other like we used to love each other. And I picked my chin up. It done fell down about where my ankles was. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And of course, I messed it up for it's all over with, you know. I mean, I messed it up, but I said, honey, I'm sorry. I said, I'm the one's guilty here. I want you to forgive me. And anyway, we did finally get that all worked out. But you see, there's hope in him.
Yeah.
I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't care how bad it is. You know, the Bible said in Psalms 46, verse 1, God's our refuge and strength, very present help, time of trouble. And, you know, Psalms 46, 10, be still, know that I'm God. I'm just telling you, buddy, there's hope in him. I don't, young or old, I don't know, maybe being bullied at school, maybe whatever. I don't know who I told this morning. I told somebody this morning about my father and my dad. He's pretty rough, hard to talk with, just kind of short fused. And I got saved, and I did tell my mom. Mama told me I was a fanatic, but I went and told my daddy, and daddy said, I'm happy for you, son, but I don't want what you got. And I started praying for him, Brother David. Now, I didn't know a lot about nothing, but I started praying and fasting for my father. I lost 40 pounds. And I looked like a refugee myself back in my head. But I was convinced my dad was going to go to hell. And I wasn't going to accept that. I wanted my dad to get saved. And I got a little impatient on God. And I got down there as I'm praying and fasting. I said, Lord, I don't even want my dad to be able to eat or sleep till he gets saved. And boy, my phone rung. And daddy called me up. He said, you praying for me? I said, well, yeah, Dad, you know I'm praying for you. He said, well, I want you to quit. I said, well, how come, Dad? He said, I can't eat. I can't sleep. And I mean, I didn't say it on the phone, but I done about like you did there, Dave. I kind of, thank you, Lord. Woo! But I asked my dad, I said, Dad, let me ask you something. I said, Dad, if it's the other way around, you saved, and I was lost, and I was going to hell. I asked you not to pray for me. I said, Dad, would you quit praying for me? And for the first time in my life, I heard my father weep. And through a lamentable voice, he said, no, but take it easy, I'm not ready yet. Well, 10 years later, he did get saved. Called me about 3 o'clock in the morning and told me about it. But there's hope in him. You got lost loved ones? You know, God said he wondered. He looked, see if there were intercessors in the land. He wondered that there was no one standing in the gap.
Yeah.
You know, we need to stand in the gap because there's hope in him. We need to pray, not let up. Get a hold of the horns at the altar and pray. There's hope in him. Let me give you another thing about hope. I was broke one time. Most of the time I am. I'm kind of like Peter, James, and John. Silver and gold having none. But I was on the back porch praying, Brother David. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I know you already know about this, but I need $1,000 somehow, and I don't know how, but I need it. And I'm on the back porch praying. I got hope in him. I had my cell phone on. I didn't know I had it on, and it rang. And I answered it. I just prayed. And I answered. I said, hello. The guy on that phone said, what's going on? I said, what do you mean? He said, Lord, just put you on my heart. What's going on? I said, well, I just got through telling the Lord I had a need. He said, what is it? I'm in a hurry. I said, well, I told him I needed $1,000. He said, be underneath my office. Go up there and get it. Be in an envelope. He said, I got to go have surgery. Hung up. And I thought, yeah, in your dreams. And I got scared. I really did. I got scared. I don't know why, but I thought, there's no sense of driving up there. That's stupid. He told me, he said, it'd be underneath my office and behind that wooden door there. And I trembled. I remember it. No, I'm up that wooden door, and there's an envelope in there, and I opened it up. It had 10 $100 bills in there. There's hope in him. Oh, Lord, if we could just realize, if we could just get to him, you can find out, buddy. You don't have to go no further. I don't know what kind of things you deal with, but I know what to do with my things. I get to him. There's hope in him. Got somebody at work getting the hard way to go? Go talk to him about it. Having trouble financially? Go talk to him about it. Struggling with your health? Go talk to him about it. having issues between husband and wife, talk to him about it. Got a wayward child, talk to him about it. There's hope in him. I know where to go now. It don't take me as long now as it used to. Matter of fact, I go straight to him now. I just say, Lord, you already know about this, but I still need to tell you about it. I need help here. And he said, I already know that. Praise God, Brother David, there's hope in him.
Yes, amen.
I'm telling you, buddy, they might not have realized they brought this woman right to the place where she could get the help she needed. If they'd brought her to the Sanhedrin, she'd be a dead woman. If they'd brought her to anybody but Jesus, she'd have been stoned. There's hope in him. If we can get our loved ones to him, he can save them. Sure can. Amen. You might be here tonight, Brother Eddie. I've heard all this before. God said in the book of Malachi, try me and prove me.
Yes.
See if I won't open up a windows of heaven, pour out a blessing the room cannot contain. I done found out, but somebody told a story one time about a young preacher went to visit an elderly saint in the church. And she said, I'll be out in a minute. And he seen her Bible laying there, and he opened it up. And looking through that Bible, and it said, TP, TP, TP. He thought, I wonder what the heck that means. And she come out, he said, I'm sorry. I said, I couldn't help it. Open up your Bible, and I was looking through there, and it kept saying, TP, TP, what's that mean? She said, tried and proved.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, buddy, there's hope in him. I called a radio station. I don't know if y'all listen to King King's Radio or not. I called the radio station Monday morning. David Carr, he's a little frustrated. I could tell he was. And he wanted to know what was going to do about this bathroom deal, about our country and things going on in our country. And I called in. I was the first one to call in. And I said, Brother David, I said, I'm going to do what I just already did this morning, about 4 o'clock this morning. I said, I was down on my knees and I was praying to God about it. And he got a little in the flesh, got a little mad, hung up on me. He said, I want to know what people are going to do about it. Now, I believe the Bible said for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through man.
Yeah.
They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mm-hmm. Now, Sennacherib come against Hezekiah, and he said, I'm going to mow you like grass. And Hezekiah took the letter, the threatening letter that Sennacherib had sent. He went into the house of God. He spread it out before the Lord. He said, Lord, this is a time of trouble and a time of despair. And God said, I'll take you from here. And I'll tell you what, they woke up the next morning, 165,000 corpses didn't get up. David said, I'll look to the hills which come of my help.
Amen.
My help cometh from the Lord. Look, I don't know how you deal with problems. I'll give you my advice. Bring them to him. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You'll find rest in your soul. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. I'm telling you, take it to Jesus. There's hope in him. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you tonight just don't realize what I'm telling you tonight. You can have help. You can have hope. You can go home and face up against your problems if you just bring them to him. You know what we do? I can handle it. Is that right? Well, I'll tell you something on old Brother Eddie. I don't like to tell this to everybody. Made a lot of mistakes. And God, he chastens those he loves. I made one terrible mistake. And I kind of got set up. I really hate to even tell this, but I'm going to tell it. The Lord seemed to be leading here. But we had a house we was renting in town. And this older gentleman was living there. And I went over to collect the rent. And of course, being a compassionate man, I need to be a landlord. I mean, here I am. I just can't. I'm just too easy going. But I come over there and... he said, Eddie, he said, I don't have this month's rent. But he said, would you take that VCR in on my rent there? And I didn't want that VCR. And like a dummy, Brother Melvin, I said, yeah, I'll take it. And I knew I was going to get tongue lashed when I got home. It's kind of like that little boy traded that cow for them three beans there, you know, Jack the Beanstalk. But anyway, I picked up that VCR. He said, there's some tapes up there. Take them with you. I won't need them no more. They're them tapes. Was what the problem was. I didn't have enough spine back then, like I do now, to say no. And I picked up that VCR and them tapes and brought them into my house. And I set them down on my table. When I did, there was one roach run out underneath that VCR, run across that table, and I'm slapping that thing for like a slap. It hit the floor and took off running, and I'm stomping and carrying on. It headed straight for the baseboard, went underneath that baseboard. I thought, well, at least it's gone. Well, that roach, he was on a mission. Teach a boy a lesson. It's amazing how God can use something small to get his word across to someone. But for some reason or another, every night, I had to wake up at 3 o'clock and go get a drink of water. That's never happened before in my entire life. I used to sleep like a baby. My wife, she says, I wish I could sleep like you do. I said, honey, just get right with God. It's a package deal. But anyway, every night I had to get up at 3 o'clock and go get a drink of water. And I'd go in there and turn the light on in the kitchen. There wouldn't be one roach. There'd be five or six. And I'd get me a drink of water, go back to bed. And next night, same thing, 3 o'clock, set your watch by it. I'd go in there, flip a light, and there'd be hundreds of roaches. They wasn't going away. We bombed the house. We done everything, burned the house down. We tried every kind of pesticide and all that stuff, and these things was thriving on it. But one night I got up, and I went to flip that light switch on. This time when I flipped that light switch on in the corner of my eye, I saw roaches in the bed with my son, and I broke right there. And I fell down. I said, I surrender. I'm sorry. I said, Lord, if it even be possible, could you please forgive me a mistake? And I made a terrible mistake. You'll make mistakes in life. This was a terrible mistake. I should have been man enough to have just said no, but I wasn't. And I'm quite a bit more of a man now than I was then, but I made a terrible mistake. Brought this in my home, a Christian home. And anyway, I fell down that night. I said, Lord, if you could do anything, I sure would appreciate it. I'm sorry. Next night, set your watch by it, 3 o'clock. I go in and I flip that light switch on. There ain't a roach nowhere. I mean, I got down, I looked underneath the kitchen cabinets. I pulled a drawer out on the stove. Man, I opened up all the cabinet doors, the kitchen cabinets. There never was another roach in our house from that day on. There's hope in him. Now, I was broke. It's good that you get broke. You can't do it on your own. God broke me. But he also taught me there's some things I didn't need to do. But he also taught me when I did do them, there's still hope in him. There's help in him. Amen. Brother Melvin, I never saw one. One guy said, I dreamed it. I said, if I did, it's a nightmare. But them roaches was on a mission. They was going to teach a young boy that God has something better in mind. Mm-hmm. And just like this woman right here, there's hope in him. I don't know what you're battling. I know some of you are. I can tell by looking at your faces. Some of you, Brother Ed, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what I do. I'd get down here and I'd talk to him about it. You want victory? I'll tell you how to get it. There's hope in him. I don't know what you're struggling with. Money. Maybe you got a pornography problem, maybe got a drinking problem, maybe got a filthy mouth, filthy mind. There's hope in him. If you can get to him, you and him, you don't have to tell old Brother Eddie, you don't have to tell Brother David. You and him reason it out. He already knows about it. He's wondering what it's going to take to get you to come. I hate that one verse there in St. John chapter 5, verse 40, where Jesus said, you will not come to me. That's what the problem is. We just won't come to him. We'll go to Dr. So-and-so. And you know that one woman had that issue of blood. The Bible said she saw many physicians, suffered many things, and spent all she had. Finally, there wasn't nothing left but Jesus. Boy, she'd done that first. She could have saved herself a lot of pain, a lot of money, a lot of expense. What's it going to take to get you to come? There's hope in him. This harlot found out there was hope in him. I don't know what you're battling, but I'll tell you this, there's hope in him. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the thoughts you brought to my mind. Lord, we've been challenged here tonight to consider, Lord, our ways. Consider, Lord, your great mercies. Your word says it's of the Lord's mercies. We're not consumed. It says, Lord, your compassions fail not. and they're new every morning. Lord, I believe tonight, Lord, your word has spoke to someone tonight. And Lord, right now, Lord, they're battling, Lord, that old devil in their flesh. That devil's telling them that they need to wait, and you're telling them to come now. And I pray that they'll do the victorious thing. I pray, Lord, they break loose. Lord, from the one that's hindering, I pray they'd run to you. Lord, get the help they need. I pray you'll give someone, Lord, tonight some victory. Whatever you do tonight, Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Get Brother David, get us a song here. You heard tonight, Hope for the Harlot.
You turn with us to 101.
What about you tonight? You got a need tonight? Well, the Lord already knows about it. Ain't it amazing how far we'll go? Ain't it amazing all the things we'll put up with rather than just come to Him? Won't you do that tonight? Won't you come to Him and say, Lord, we need to talk. Man, old Brother Eddie, I don't waste no time no more. I'm still away. Find me a little place. Get down there and pray. I love to pray. What about it tonight?
Fire in the blood.
Things in your way, what kind of troubles are devil's put upon me, I know one thing, there's hope in Him. And only Him. And it seems like the world makes it worse. You ever try to share a secret with someone, don't tell nobody? Next thing you know, boy, wish I had never told that. I found out you can share your deepest secret with Him.
That's right.
It'll go no farther. Won't you come tonight? Look, I'm telling you right now, the Lord's real. He loves you. There's hope in Him. If you can get to Him, I'll promise you this. He said, all that come to me, I'll in no wise turn them away. St. John chapter 6. He said, I won't turn you down. I'll help you. Come on tonight. You can do it. Get somebody by the hand and say, go with me. You'll do it.
Say a couple of verses of 96, number 96.
I'll tell you, it ain't going to be easy. But I will tell you this, God will help you if you'll let Him. Maybe you're here tonight and you got a testimony. Maybe you've been in the battle all week long. Maybe it's took its toll on you. Maybe you're about ready to throw in the towel. I just tell you tonight, I find no fault in him. Only thing he could have fault in was Paul said, Christ Jesus come to this world to save sinners. He loved sinners. He eat with sinners. He saved sinners. He forgave sinners. That'd be the only accusation that you could bring against him. They had condemnation in their heart that he forgave this woman caught red-handed in the act of adultery. They wanted her stoned. But he looked beyond her fault, saw her need, and forgave her. He said, go and sin no more. What about you tonight? Appreciate this young lady coming forward. Appreciate those that came and prayed with us. The Bible says, pray ye one with another.
Amen.
Pray one for another. Forgive one another. Christ forgive you. Let brother love continue. Hebrews 13:1.
Amen.
Seems like Buddy Baptist Church, that's about all we do, is bite the fire one another. Man, we got to remember our God's a God of love. Here is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, gave His Son to be propitiation for our sins. Anybody got anything on your heart tonight?
Brother Eddie, I want to thank the Lord tonight for saving my soul. Thank Him for the message tonight. It's just been a blessing to my soul. I know it's all the truth. And, you know, I've been burdened for my nephew for, I guess, 3 or 4 years. He said he was saved and he was out in the world and drinking and doing drugs and he would go into rehab, and then he would come out, and he would straighten up for a few months, and then he would go back into the same thing. And I'm airing my laundry here tonight before the church.
Yeah.
But I don't care, Lord. He is my help.
Sure.
I've been out in the living room floor and was praying for him. And the Lord told me. He kept bringing scriptures to me because He said He was saved. And I couldn't understand why, Lord. Why is He not able to overcome these things?
Yeah.
And because You said, Lord, that He that is in us is stronger than he that's in the world. And just that He would always be with us and never leave us and help us, you know, with whatever we're dealing with. And I was praying in the living room floor, and the Lord just told me in a small, soft voice that He was going to help him.
Yeah.
And, of course, it went on for a little bit, and He didn't tell me how or when He was going to help him. But here, he went back into rehab again, come out. Just the office turmoil. My sister was just in such a mess. You know, we talked with Brother Wayne. And just trying to seek advice on what to do. But the Lord, I mean, you take your problems to the Lord. And of course, sometimes He don't work fast. But when it's still, you know, what's a little space of time. But here about 3 weeks ago, he said he went back into a rehab, and this is a year program that he's gone into, because he was going into like 3 months programs.
Yeah.
And he called his mother and said, Mama, sit down, and he got the speakerphone on. Says, I got something to tell you. He said, I got saved.
Hey, buddy.
And she's talking to him. Of course, he can only call. I'm sorry, David, she said he's just so different. He just speaks so different now.
Yeah.
And I just want to praise the Lord.
Amen.
For hearing and answered prayer. And then He is ever, you know, a present help in times of trouble. And I just want to praise Him. Because He's worthy of our praise.
That's right. Amen. I don't say He didn't
have
it, so I praise Him. Lord, I think every day would be Thanksgiving. For child of God,
there's
amen.
Nothing too big for Him. Nothing too big for Him.
Amen.
I
like those kind of testimonies, some good ones. Amen. We had something good come out of it.
Yeah.
I want to thank God for saving me, for your message.
Amen.
For Brother for allowing me to be your mama. She's been such a blessing.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Who else tonight? It's a good place to be.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the waters of trouble tonight. You can still come tonight.
Yes.
Matter of fact, your pastor here, Brother Wayne Wilson, the service over with, everybody done left. He turned around and come back and says, it's too late, somebody gets saved. And there was still a couple people there. Brother Rick said, yes, good time as any. And they went up there and Brother Wayne got saved on a Wednesday night. It's never too late.
That's right.
Only time it's too late is if you die in your sins. Well, let me tell you something about this. Sin's your enemy. It's the greatest poison, the greatest venom ever. The Bible said sin, when it's finished, bringing forth death. The wages of sin is death. If you die in your sins, no hope, no help, only hell. You say, well, loving God wouldn't send me to hell. Loving God stood between you and hell.
Amen.
Tried to keep you from going to hell. You found out some way of getting around Him, some way of trespassing His will for your life. You died in your sins. You'll see tears in the eyes of Jesus. He said, how long do you come to me? You would not. Apart from me, I never knew you. Don't die in your sins. No hope. This woman here, she found hope. You can find hope. If you can get to Jesus, you can find hope. You die in your sins, no hope. No help. Hell's a sad place to regret not getting saved. Yeah.
And everything, hoping she's going to get to come home in a few months, a couple months or something. Just remember her and the girls.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why have people come to me all the time, Brother Eddie, pray about this? And I do it. Amen. I do a lot of praying. I love to pray. The reason I pray, I got hope in Him. I got hope.